It's official catch-up podcast. I'm Ben Gant. I'm joined, as always, by Chris. Chris, how you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Decent day, actually. The weather looks fine, but we're stuck inside doing a podcast. But that's obviously trying to keep it regular. Sometimes we've not been doing that the last few weeks, so good to be back. Scottish Cup this week, obviously. So fair few points to talk about, I think.
Absolutely. We've got the Lowland League, of course. We have Scottish Cup. There was some Junior Cup action as well. But we'll start off where we always start, the Lowland League. The results as follows were Berwick Rangers 0, Cowdenbeath 2, Celtic B 2, Albion Rovers 1, Silver Strollers 2, Bonesh United 0, Cumbernauld Colts 2, Broomhill 1, East Arlanshire 1, Cali Braves 1, Edinburgh Uni 0, East Kilbride 9, Galloway Rovers 2, Stirling Uni 0, and Trinaint 8. Getting at 2008, and on Friday night we had Hearts B and Lithgow drawing 2 each. We'll start there, Chris, with the Friday night game, Hearts B and Lithgow 2 each draw. Hearts B looking pretty good this season, it looks like, Chris.
Yeah, I think we've discussed it previously. We felt they would do better, obviously, whether there'd be a very sort of top team. I tell you what, they're showing it with the results. I have seen a couple of the lads obviously being involved in the first team, if you will, obviously going to, you know, Europe. Callum Sandilands been one of them that's, I think, been team of the month and team of the years and whatever else. Hearts are looking really strong. Linlithgow will be disappointing for them. We've kind of touched on them. A bit surprising, really, but I think they're still short on bodies. Something I kind of touched on last week and obviously suspension as well. But look, it's one of those where it's like the old bear saying, you know, if it's brown, lay down. If it's black, fight back. If it's white, good night. So you have to know what you're facing. And sometimes I get the impression, especially down in this division, that a lot of teams probably aren't fully aware of what they're facing. Whether they do scouting or whatever, I'm not sure. I know some teams do. How much that helps them, I'm not sure, because I think in terms of scouting, you have to really watch a team 2-3 games rather than just one game. But, you know, I keep bringing up that infamous Cy-Ferry thing with Stirling Uni. But Linlithgow, they'll be disappointed to draw that, knowing what kind of club they are and their aspirations, because, you know, I heard it at the start of the season, whether we believed that, you know, they would be a title challenger. Obviously, that's the expectation at a club level. I've got always going out to try and win games and go for a title. But Hearts B are proven so far that they're going to be one of the top teams. And I think one of the criticisms of the B teams, you know, especially Celtic and Rangers, obviously when Rangers were in the league, is we don't really see the progression for these youth players. I think it's going to be different for Hearts. Like we've mentioned, a couple of the lads getting a chance in the first team. I hope that's the case, because there are a lot of talented young footballers at Hearts, and it'll be interesting to see what happens, whether they stick with the B team, whether they're going to be in about the club, you know, possibly to get some chances in the first team, or it really depends if there's going to be loans and whatnot, but we'll wait and see with that one.
Yeah, I think the very nature of the Hearts B squad is made up of predominantly probably Scottish kids, whereas you look at the other teams. Rangers and Celtic, like we mentioned, they're probably bringing in guys and signing guys from down south and stuff like that, and signing guys from other youth teams to bring them in. Whereas the Hearts B players naturally are probably going to be more developed through their squad. So yeah, they look a talented bunch. Obviously, a lot wiser for last season's exploits in the Lowland League, and probably feeling a bit of benefit from having a season to find their feet there and being able to go and, I guess, potentially challenge at this point in the season. Obviously, they're sitting third at the moment, just behind Cumbernauld Colts, but certainly a team that could challenge, but I don't see why they can at this point in time. We're fortunate, I guess, if they were to get up and win the league, we have the champion club option that's available to the Lowland League team to go into the playoff, which we don't have in the kind of West, East, South kind of regions of the pyramid, which I think is a bit crap, personally.
That's an interesting point, Ben. Are you saying basically, if obviously Beeve never had a club license last year, could if the West could nominate a champion that did, that would be a game changer, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So I actually go on record and saying this. I brought this up at the West Scotland AGM on.
It's an interesting point.
In June this year, and how it was explained was that it's a low on league decision to allow that to happen. So they're basically West East South can't nominate a champion club. Because the loan league don't allow it, which I think is a bit poor. And again, it comes back to that double standards of and lack of consistency that we've talked about around the pyramid. And we're not going to go into a big pyramid debate today, but certainly I think it should be the case. And I think obviously if Hearts B were to win it, that's the bonus of having that ruling in place that will allow the second place team or third place team, depending on what Celtic B do, to be the champion club, and therefore then get in the playoff and potentially get promoted against one of the Highland League sides, which we can't do. But yeah, I'll be keen to see what Hearts B do. Linlithgow, I think we know they're a good side. I think for me, just finding their feet again in the Lone League is probably a little bit different to what they know, and a team that won't disgrace themselves over the course of the season. That's for sure. But certainly a team to watch over the course.
Big brain ideas there from Ben, because I don't think that's ever been mentioned, and it is a really good point, considering obviously the loaned can elect a champion, whereas the terms of... I don't think it affects the East as much, because most of the East of Scotland Premier are licensed, but certainly interesting in the West, that given the status of Beeve last year.
Yeah, and if you look at obviously the form in the league, the West Scotland so far, Beeve are going to probably be right up there again and potentially could win the league 2 years in a row, and we're in the same spot where a West team can't come up because there's no option for that champion club. So I'd like to see that rule change, how we get that to happen. I probably find that it's probably virtually impossible, given it needs the lone league teams to vote on that, and that's just another kind of blocker in terms of getting that ventilation that we always talk about. But again, we're not here for a pyramid debate. We'll maybe keep that one for later in the season, but certainly that's one that does nip my brain a wee bit, I must admit. Next game then, Berwick 0, Cowdenbeath 2. A good result for Cowdenbeath, Chris, away from home. They seem to have started quite brightly this season.
Yeah, Cowdenbeath, much better than last year, I must say. Jamie Doherty is... been a revelation since going there. Obviously, we know how good Jamie is, but I did say last week there is a wee bit of a needle in that game. I noticed Berwick didn't mention any of the goal scorers for Cowdenbeath by name, saying things like, you know, against the run of play, and you know, not giving much credit to Cowdenbeath. I've not seen the highlights yet, so yeah, it's a disappointing one for Berwick. Berwick are always one that I think the fans get angry at us in particular because we don't rate them as highly as possibly they do their own side. Certainly, I rate guys like Stuart Malcolm and, you know, Liam Buchanan, one of the, you know, top scorer last year, but they're just not consistent. I mean, if you're really a challenger inside, we saw Cowdenbeath obviously get beat by East Kilbride. I know it was in fact, it was a home game for Berwick as well, and you would expect the stronger sides to beat Cowdenbeath, but Cowdenbeath have been a surprise package. I wouldn't rule them out to be, you know, maybe a top six, top eight side. They certainly haven't invested in their squad with guys like Zach Butterworth, Jamie Doherty, as I mentioned, and they are looking really decent, and from what I've heard, a deserved win. But Berwick, on the other hand, just need to be consistent. I mean, I said at the start of the season, Liam Buchanan, great for him, scoring all them goals last year, but you can't rely on one man to sort of pull you out. And they do have players there, Berwick, that I rate, but if you're really going to be a contender in this league, especially looking at how good East Kilbride are, you're going to have to win pretty much every game, or at least get something. And getting beat 2-0 at home, it's not great.
I think for me, we've seen over the years, Berwick are a mid-table side. They're not a side that are going to be challenging, or are going to be right up there. I think that's the thing that stands out for me on Berwick. For me, I think, I say, Berwick aren't they're a mid-table side. I think that's where they are. They've found a place in the pyramid for me, and I don't see them going to be a team that's going to challenge up there in the next few years. And unfortunately for Berwick, and I think, as you say, the fans probably think they are a better team because they have been up in the leagues in the past, and that's probably, you'll find that probably most of the teams that have been in SPFL in the past, they maybe think they're better than they are now, and the way the pyramid is, they're going to find a level. You're probably seeing that with Cowdenbeath at the moment. Albion Rovers, not too sure about them. East Stirling, we've seen them get toiled over the years, and that's just kind of where it is. But yeah, I'm impressed by Cowdenbeath. I think they gave them a lot of stick last year, and for me, I think Carl Melly's a good, really good manager. We've seen his record in the past, and he knows how to win football matches, and that's what he's been doing. I think the only Johnny's blotch in his copybook at the moment is a lost East Kilbride, and as you said, East Kilbride are a team, so it's no surprise there that they do lose to a team like East Kilbride. Next game then, Celtic B2, Albion Rovers 1, and it's the second defeat for Albion Rovers, and Celtic B kind of getting back on track after a three-game slide, Chris.
Yeah, I think that's surprising given how Celtic B have started, and obviously Albion Rovers, we mentioned the feel-good factor. Celtic, obviously, the Excelsior Stadium, but a home game technically for them. I've noticed a lot of speculation, obviously, on Rocco Vatta, whether he was going to leave the you know, Celtic. I always thought it would be a bit of a shame for Celtic to lose him because he has shown he's a really good player. I guess it goes back to what we said about, you know, these B teams, how if the young players do eventually get a chance in the first team, for example. But, you know, he was on the score sheet. I think he got the opener, and Mackenzie Kerr, so let's face it, I mean, he's got a massive future, either at Celtic or somewhere, and possibly Liverpool, where, you know, Ben Doak, for example, has moved on. So a great result for Celtic B, but yeah, they've been so inconsistent, and they should be doing a lot better. I mean, the last couple of seasons we've seen Celtic B, you know, set in that sort of second and third position, almost worrying whether they would win the league or not, and see what the ramifications of that would have been. But yeah, they've started really poorly. But given how good that squad is, I know they've lost a few guys. Yeah, they should be doing a lot better. But that's a really good win over an Albion Rovers side that have been pretty strong up until now.
Yeah, I think you look at the Celtic B side; they obviously have lost their bodies, but still should be more than capable of winning, and they've done that against Albion Rovers. But we knew it would be a tough game, and I've had a lot to say about Albion Rovers in the past, but yeah, you've got to give them a lot of credit for their start of this season. I think they can do well, and I don't think that wouldn't surprise me to see them right up there. But we've seen it in a lot of these games so far that, you know, the surprise result, if you like, maybe comes out of the bag more often than not, and probably a tough one to call this game, and Celtic B just edged it. But yeah, it's a good win. I think Celtic B, having struggled for the last couple of weeks, having lost games to like East Kilbride and Berwick, several, is probably one of the ones they had to try and turn around fairly quickly, and have done that hopefully. So if they can kick on, then great for them. Next game then, Civil Service Strollers 2, Bowness United 0. Another good win for Civil. Could a team maybe going about their business a wee bit quietly, Chris? We've not really talked an awful lot about Civil, but in the top half there, four wins in the season so far, a couple of draws, and amongst that, only losing to Gretna last week, but bouncing back straight away from that defeat.
Yeah, goals by Girdwood and Cunningham. Against the Bowness side that we've talked about, whether they just need to pick themselves up, but they've lost a few games in a row now, and it's always debilitating, obviously, when you have confidence coming into the start of the season, you're on a winning streak, then you lose one, then another. It's really hard to pick yourselves up. And Civil, you know, in fair play to them, we talk up how good they can be at Christy Gillis Park, a really tough place to go. They make it tough for you. You know, Gary Jordan's no mug, and the players there are no mugs. I think the main talking point there is probably Mac White returning, the goalkeeper. I think the boy on loan from Rangers broke his finger against Gretna or something like that. So Max came in, and I don't think he'll mind me saying, I actually spoke to Matt, you know, because I wasn't sure if he left Strollers. But, you know, apparently I think he was going to do a wee bit of travelling or whatever. So whether he's just coming in to help out the now until the loanee returns, or if he's plans of winter eye or whatever. I'm not really sure. But Mac's a really good goalkeeper at this level and really probably one of the best in the league. So if they, if he has changed his plans, and Sybil have got a really good goalkeeper there as well. So, but good win. Bonus, probably look like they're on the downturn at the moment, aren't they? It's hard to predict. I mean, they're still a solid side. I think we need to remember that, but they're really going through a bad spell at this moment. And you just hope it doesn't outdo the good that the results did at the start of the season.
Yeah, obviously, Bonnet started the season very strongly, but right up there, which we nobody expected. So I think the fact that they maybe are a bit of a losing streak, they're coming up against probably tougher sides in the shape of the likes of Civil, Albion Rovers, Cumbernauld Colts, you know, good teams in the division. So certainly no surprises in terms of defeats. I think probably the manner of defeats maybe are the ones that are disappointing them. They haven't scored in now three games, which is probably the most concerning thing for Bowness, I think, would be the fact that they did have that good run and they were getting goals and they were getting results, but now they're kind of on that turn and can't buy a goal for love nor money at the moment. But I mean, Bowness, we probably expect him to be at the bottom end of the table come the start of the season when we're talking about them. So they're still, as far as we're concerned, punching a bit above their weight, and they'll probably find a natural position in the league at some point over the course of the next few weeks. And we never expect them to last the pace, I think, at the top. That was one other thing for sure. And certainly, say they'll find their way, and they'll have cup competitions to look forward to over the next few weeks, I'm sure, too. So one team that are kind of keeping pace with things at the top of the league is Cumbernauld Colts. Their win on Saturday, 2-1 against Broomhill. Broomhill, as we've talked about plenty, decent enough side. Another team going through a bit of a sticky spell, couple of draws, couple of defeats in the last four, but Cumbernauld, they're on another three-game winning streak, getting results and having probably the opposite problem at Bonnes is they're scoring goals.
What can you really say about them? I mean, that would have been what the Broadwood Derby last year, a wee bit of heat between them, eh? So I did say on Twitter, I think it's a wee bit of a shame that patter off Broadwood, the home of Cumbernauld Colts, has died. The patter's died, but a really good win. I think they saw it out with 10 men, I believe. Kai Kilpatrick got sent off with 5 minutes to go, but Keelan Adams, who we've talked about, I think he grabbed the winner. Colts are looking like a solid outfit, and we have to give credit to David Proctor and the lads there. Considering, I don't think anyone could have called this. I always feel like I rate Colts higher than I should. I've not done it this season, and maybe that's why they're performing well. Maybe it's another catch-up jinx or curse or whatever. I mean, we were talking last week about guys like Ashley Ballum maybe not getting a shot in the first team, and he's been playing really well. So it's a good problem for Colts to have. I mean, there's a couple of guys that are probably a wee bit disappointed in they're not playing, but that's how good they've been playing in terms of the results as well. So it's always good to get these guys in. So a fantastic result. Broomhill, yeah, I think that's a couple, isn't it? They've lost now, so I don't think they'll go on the way of Bonnes. I would imagine Swifty will get that sorted and they'll get back to winning as soon as possible. It's probably a case of one team you probably don't want to play at the moment is Cumbernauld Colts if you're on a bit of a streak, losing or winning, obviously, because they have been really solid the last few weeks / the start of the season.
Next game then, East Stirlingshire 1, Cali Braves 1. Bottom end table match at the moment for both those sides. Both those teams struggling probably quite big time at the moment. Chris, I think neither team can really get a win. Obviously, East Stirlingshire got one more result off against getting a bit at the moment. We're looking at getting and saying, I mean, most teams should be turning them over at the moment. And certainly, when it comes to East Stirlingshire and Cali Braves, they're still very much looking over their shoulder and at the bottom two teams, and it could well be a bit of a tighter relegation battle, but didn't seem like much of a game from what I read this one.
No, I mean, you're talking what a penalty on the 73rd minute for Cali Braves, and then, you know, a goal for East Stirlingshire. I think Tony Coutts for the equaliser on the 86th minute, so it was probably a bit of a drab affair, and it just sums up the season for both of the clubs so far. I mean, you know, you're talking bottom end of the table, as you say, and it's disappointing. I mean, going into the start of the season, I could probably maybe have seen Cali Braves, just because of, well, we've talked about it enough on the podcast, the changes in that club, losing all their mainstays for the last few years, I think, apart from Ross McNeil, obviously, who got the goal from the penalty spot. But it's not great from either side. It was one that probably both sides would have wanted to win, and it's just been a drab draw. Yeah, I guess we have to wait and see on that one, because probably disappointing. Really disappointing for both sides, but not a lot to really talk about in terms of the match.
Next game, Gala Ferdinand Rovers 2, Stirling Uni 0. A good win for Gala. I think Stirling Uni having, say, a bit of a trouble at the moment. Their side obviously having changed quite a bit over the course of the summer with the players that have left. They just seem to be kind of struggling and not being the team that they were, previously. Gala, again, probably another team with a different, probably similar form, in the sense of they've had a sticky patch, and they're getting out of that with a couple of wins on the bounce.
Jamie Semple on the score sheet again. I wonder if he's taking my advice and sticking to the centre. It's yeah. I mean, I was probably very critical of Gala the last time we spoke, and because I've been disappointed with them, but this sort of run of fixtures that they've had, a couple of really good wins. They just have to keep it up. They really have to keep it up. And if Jamie continues to score week in, week out, that's the sort of thing that they can rely on. But as I say, it's not up to one man to get you out. And I think Stirling will be disappointed in that one. You know, we were so heavy with the praise with Stirling Uni last year because they were fantastic. It's a bit of a different scenario this season. I don't think we can be too harsh on them, given that they are still a decent side, but, you know, they're really going to be probably, what, mid-table, I think, compared to last season. So they might be, I guess, in the meh category, as much as we enjoy, obviously, Chris Geddes and the lads, and we obviously hope they do well, but I don't think we're probably going to have as much praise for them this year, unless they obviously, you know, do a repeat in the uni competitions, which hopefully they win some trophies in that, and potentially, you know, do well in the cups as well.
Yeah, they've got that to look forward to, I think, in terms of Scottish Cup and South Challenge Cup as well. Obviously, you mentioned the Bucks that they'll have to play in, and I'm sure they'll be well capable of probably winning that Bucks league again. So, in terms of Gala, yeah, I've been very impressed with what I've seen of them. Jamie Semple, we know exactly what he's capable of from his time at Broomhill. For me, he was an unknown quantity before he moved to Broomhill, but you kind of got to see bits of him last year, and then knew he was a good striker, and picking him up along with, I think, Kyle as well, Jamie's brothers, been a really good move for Gala. A surprising one, I think, for me. I think Jamie could probably went to a number of teams across maybe the West, or maybe even East, or stayed in the low end with some other sides, but he chose to go to Gala, so fair play to him. He's obviously doing his thing down there. Two more games then to look at in the Lowland League, and both were high scoring games, shall we say. Not the high scoring games of the weekend, certainly, but nonetheless, plenty of goals to be had in these two. Edinburgh Uni were beating 9-0 off of East Kilbride. I mean, East Kilbride. Did we expect to put 9 past Edinburgh Uni? I mean, probably. Like, the way they're playing at the moment, certainly look like the team that we were expecting, 5-0 up at half time. You know, game was pretty much done in the first half. And yeah, East Kilbride looked the real deal for me now, Chris.
Yeah. The only shock there, I think, is that there wasn't a shock, because considering that Edinburgh Uni, like, you know, they like getting results against East Kilbride, but it's a different team from previous years, and you would expect East Kilbride to steamroll probably 9 out of 10 teams in this league, you know what I mean? So disappointing for Edinburgh Uni, who obviously we mentioned last week, or certainly I did, that I feel they can get a result here and there, and I still believe that, but, you know, coming up against an East Kilbride team that are really, really hungry in terms of wanting to be successful, wanting to win the league, wanting to obviously get promoted to the SPFL, which is tough. No real shock in terms of the result. And one thing I will say, though, they have the momentum now. I saw a lot of fans posting, you know, the feel-good factor about Rhys Cobride is back. And when you've got that sort of backing behind you and everyone's really happy and stuff like that, you can play without pressure of, you know, the fans' expectations, because it'll be happy cheers rather than, you know, the abuse that you might be getting at some other clubs. So, yeah, it's all gravy for Rhys Cobride, but we have to be really wary, considering our previous spin with the likes of Darvo and Rhys Cobride last year, I guess, at Christmas. So a lot of things can change in football, but full credit where it's deserved at the moment. They're doing fantastic and they're showing that they are the best team so far, I would say. But a lot can change.
Talking of Darvo, did you see Mick Kennedy's rant on Twitter last night? He had a bit of a go at Tony McAnally and referring to, I think it was to do with playing possession-based. I think Tony McAnally had a post-match interview and referred to possession-based football, and as if, I don't know if he's making a dig at maybe Darvo of the past, and you know, Mick had a comment or two to say about the fact that Tony McAnally doesn't know how to play possession-based football, and had a lot to say about his old Darvo team, and I think he's a bit sad to see the type of style of football that Darvo are now playing under Tony McAnally. And it was a good thread. I mean, I went to bed last night and it was about 100 replies, and I woke up this morning and it was about 200 replies, so certainly worth reading. But, I mean, it was a strange one from Mick. He's having a great spell at East Kilbride. He's, I don't know why he's worried about what's happening at Darvo. He's done with that club. He's away. They brought in Tony McAnally, who, I mean, Tony McAnally is Tony McAnally. He's going to have a different style of football. He is old school. And he's maybe not going to play lovely passing, scintillating possession-based football that Mick and the East Kilbride crowd want to talk about. But yeah, it was very strange to see last night on Twitter. He was very, he had a lot to say, and a lot of people were commenting on it. And I don't even know why he bothered personally, but yeah. So if you haven't read it, then it's worth a look.
Yeah, I totally missed that. To be honest, I was kind of out the game a wee bit yesterday, so a lot of sort of I've missed a few things at the weekend, I suppose. But yeah, look, I've probably been critical of a few managers over the years in terms of how they play football. Not just obviously in the lone league or at this level, but yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing when it comes to how you play football is results. You know, you can have like absolute hoofball. Like, I often think a lot of League Two clubs, you know, get away with playing hoofball, and it works for them. Sometimes they get results, sometimes they don't. And it's a different game. I think I've often talked about this behind the scenes with you guys. I feel like the step up between the lone league and the League Two, a lot of the difference, and it's not really a quality thing, it's how teams play. Not so much Spartans that have just been promoted, obviously. Kelty were a wee bit different too. And I saw the change a lot when Barry Ferguson took over Kelty. Like, someone like Tam Courts, I mean, his football was absolutely amazing. Like, really great. Like you were saying, possession, kind of, obviously, Pep Guardiola of Scotland type stuff, you know. And then you get someone like Barry Ferguson that comes in, totally changes the way it wasn't as eye-catching, but it's probably what you would be used to seeing in, you know, maybe a League Two or a League One. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, I need to see this thread. It's not unlike Mick to talk about certain things like that on Twitter, though, is it? Really?
It's just very, very odd. It was very, very odd to see. I think it caught me by surprise a little bit. And certainly, say, coming off a 9-0 win yourselves, I don't really know what the purpose of it was. And I don't know if there's been a bit of animosity there in the past, or things have been maybe said behind the scenes, but certainly a strange sequence of events. I found it very odd because it was on the back of a Darvo post, you know, post-match interview, and yeah, I had a lot to say, and people were replying back to him, and he was, you know, he's like, he's happy to comment back to people, and yeah.
We've all got egos, I suppose, you know what I mean, so.
Well worth a read. If you're bored for 10 minutes, you can go and have a gander through some interesting comments and ones that are worth a look at, certainly. Final game then, in the Lowland League, it was Tranent 8, Gretna 2008-0. The Tranent 5 up at half-time, Chris, game was out of sight by that point. But again, nothing unsurprising really in terms of what we know Trinette are capable of. And we know what Gretna brought in Ian Anderson tail end of last week there. It's going to be too early probably in the door. I don't know if he played yesterday certainly, but I don't mean this in a bad way. I said it last week. I really want to see Gretna do well, but they had kick on rather from getting the result and come up against a Trinette side that we know are very, very capable. Having maybe a bit of a rougher spell this season, a bit of changes and things like that going on in the background. But yeah, it's a great result for Trinette and good to see them getting a clean sheet and putting 8 past Gretna.
Yeah, I mean, when I said last week, I felt like Edinburgh Uni and Gretna could pick up results here and there. You know, when they're coming up against East Kilbride and Trinette, the next game, I'm obviously not talking about these sort of fixtures. But yeah, it's a tough one to take. I mean, but look at Cammy Ross, who I think probably felt a wee bit slighted that I never put him in the team of the month previously. So he scored 5 goals. I mean, Cammy's an excellent player, obviously, really, really quality. Trinette have a fantastic team. I don't actually know. I don't even think I've put a Trinette player or a Linlithgow Rose player in the team in the launch yet. So that might change. But
you'll be getting hate mail this week, Chris. You'll be getting hate mail this week.
Yeah. Look, it's all fun and banter. I don't think Cammy takes it that seriously. But yeah, fantastic result. 5 goals. A really good result for Trinette, who have to keep ploughing away, I guess, if they're going to be chasing East Kilbride down. Obviously, they're the front runners at the moment this early on in the league.
That rounds up the Lowland League then for this week. We'll move straight on to the Scottish Cup. It was the second preliminary round of the men's Scottish Cup. People have been getting me in trouble for either not saying men's Scottish Cup or saying men's Scottish Cup. It seems to be that if you either side of the fence gets upset if you say it wrong one way or another. So I've been trying to remember to say men's Scottish Cup because there is a women's Scottish Cup and therefore, in the men's Scottish Cup, here's the results of the weekend. Jeanfield Swifts 3, Cooper Hearts 0, Glenafton 0, Darvel 3, Beath Juniors 5, Bonnet and Thistle 1, Collett Rovers 2, Dalbeattie Star 3. That was a after extra time goal in that one. Quinn Rangers 4, Glasgow University 0, Broxbourne 3, Lochie United 0, East Houses Lily 1, 3 Rovers 3, Coulter 3. Blackburn United 2, Camelin Newton Green Star was 0-0 and it was a 4-3 penalty shootout win for Camelin. Tynecastle 0, Lothian Thistle 1, Pennycook 4, Rutherglen Glencairn 2, Prestonfield and Dundonald was a 0-0 draw and it finished 5-4 to Dundonald Bluebell on penalties. Musselburgh 6, Coldstream 0, Sauchie Juniors 4, Burnt Island Shipyards 0, St Andrews 1, Haddington Athletic 0, Teatown 1, Whitehill Welfare 3, Newton Stewart 1, Loncarty 4, Dunbar United 4, Vale Eithin 2, Cumnock Juniors 1, Girvan 0, Hillabeath and Hawthorn 0, Tayport 1, Irvine Meadow 1, Dunipace 2, Hawick Royal 1, Goldspace Ireland 2, St Cuthbert's Wanderers 0, Dalkeith Thistle 5, Wigton Bladduck 0, Auchinleck Talbot 12, Pollock 2, Benburb 2, and it finished 3-0 to Pollock in penalties, and the final game was Fort William 1, Clydebank 10. Some interesting results, Chris, there. We'll start with that one that we talked about right at the top there, Jeanfield Swifts against Cooper Hearts. Cooper Hearts, the amateur team in the competition, having won the amateur Scottish Cup, and straightforward result for Jeanfield.
Yeah, surprising actually it was that close. I don't know. Well, to be fair, it was still 3-0, obviously, but I don't know much about Cooper Hearts, I must admit. I mean, I know a wee bit about amateur football, but in terms of level, I'm not 100% sure how good that team is. But you would expect, obviously, in the prelim rounds, expect the likes of Jeanfield to get through. But fair play to Cooper Hearts. But Jeanfield, we've kind of talked them up as being one of the better East of Scotland sides this season. So, yeah, it's straightforward, as you mentioned, mate. I think, you would expect that.
One result stood out for me: Carluke Rovers 2, Dalbeattie Star 3. Carluke Rovers 2-0 up in this game. Dalbeattie Star pulling it back to get the win there. Carluke are a fourth division side in the West of Scotland, and having gained a licence in this summer, but they'll be to start just scraping through against Carluke, Chris.
Yeah, to be honest, I've not really been keeping up with Dalbeattie as much. Obviously, we still follow them. I have noticed that they have, obviously, a few guys still in from last season, the ones that never went to Gretna, obviously. So, it's no shame for Carluke in their first, appearance in the Scottish Cup. So, for Dalbeattie to hold on, I mean, they'll obviously be delighted, but it's no disgrace. But it's a bit... I think we've talked about it in the past, Ben, of where some of these Surface Scotland teams are. Obviously, you mentioned, you know, Wigtown, who are probably one of the weaker sides, certainly were last season, getting pumped, you know, 12-0 off of Auchinleck. But obviously, Auchinleck being a Prem side, where would the Surface Scotland teams be in the West of Scotland if they were ever sort of put in there? It's really hard to say. I think you could probably put it on a case-by-case basis. Obviously, Freve, we know, joined the West of Scotland. Yeah, so I think we can take it on a case-by-case basis. But Dalbeattie obviously seen that after extra time. Carluke, the guys at Carluke will be gutted. But it's always a tough one in the Scottish Cup, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think for me, I didn't expect Carluke to even get anywhere near a result, to be honest. I think they're obviously a better of the, probably seen as one of the better sides within the fourth division, albeit not had a great start to the season in terms of league, but certainly they'll be end up getting the job done, getting in the hat. That's the main thing for them at this point in the round. You don't want to go out in the prelim round. That's probably the worst place to go out. If you go out in the first setting, then you're probably looking at it like you've had a decent run, but going out in the prelim round is certainly not one you want to see happen. We always talk about Chris West his best, but one or two results standing out. Pennycook 4, Rutherglen Glencairn 2. Pennycook coming out on top over a West Scotland side.
Yeah, I think the biggest sort of takeaway from that was match was how overjoyed Aaron Somerville was. He knocked the GoPro Doogie's camera, I noticed. So a great result for Pennycook. In fairness, they were at home. And Pennycook do have a fair bit of experience playing West teams, obviously. I think it's almost like an annual fixture, whether they play Auchinleck and friendlies getting there. So there is awareness, obviously, in terms of playing West teams. I guess one we could probably touch on, not quite West, but Broxburn Athletic beating Lochie United. Lochie are always a top sort of side within the sort of Midlands or sort of Tayside Juniors or whatever. I don't know how strong they are these days, in fairness, Lockie, but it's a really good result on paper for Broxburn. Again, going back to the South of Scotland thing, Ben, Creetown, getting beat off of Whitehill Welfare. Whitehill Welfare that are just not the same team as they used to be. Creetown, obviously, a top South of Scotland team getting beat by an East of Scotland First Division side. It's hard. It really is hard with South of Scotland. And in fairness, I think you can't really judge it on cup games a lot of times. I know we like to say, I guess sometimes it proves that these teams, you know, there should be more ventilation, I guess, in the pyramid. I don't want to go back to but it sometimes is difficult to judge on cup games, especially one-offs.
I think when you look at it across the board, maybe when you take a whole raft of results in a cup competition, you see multiple West teams, for example, progressing in the East sides and the South Scotland sides, not doing as well. I think that's the yardstick. But yeah, I think individually, it's not really a place for comparison. But certainly for me, I think when you take the guts of the competition and look at it, predominantly, you're seeing the West teams being the stronger sides. But that's one interesting one to point out. I guess the other result that stands out for me in that kind of West versus East battle is over Meadow 1, Dunnyface being a First Division side in the East of Scotland, beating Over Meadow. I mean, I'm going to come straight out and say I don't rate Over Meadow at all. Not because they're some sort of rivalry. I think just purely on a football basis, I've seen them play twice this season. We played them in the Eglin Cup, which is a kind of friendly cup that we play locally. And I watched them play Eglin in the South Challenge Cup a few weeks ago. And Eglin are an average fourth division side, and no great shakes by any imagination. And certainly didn't disgrace themselves against another Meadow side who have got some good individual players, but we were surprised to see them. In fact, I'm not surprised actually to see them being beaten off Dunne Pace, because Dunne Pace are a good side. They like to play in cup competitions that they can
win
a run.
Two cup finals last year. I don't feel like we've talked a lot about Dunne Pace. I think when David Grant left, he was obviously their goal scorer, and he left towards the end of last season, I think. And Pace are, to be fair, we talked up Sauchie being a bit of a cup side. Dunne Pace are just just as every bit, obviously. Two cup finals last year, obviously, as I mentioned. And it's still a wee bit of a shock, but having not seen Meda, or as probably as much as yourself, Ben, maybe it isn't. I'm not sure. But I guess another one that you could probably put in the bracket of shock, but not really, is St Andrews United beating Haddington Athletic. Haddington, who have done really well in the East of Scotland Premier. St Andrews, I think we touched on them a wee bit last year, being in a really good side in the First Division, but that's a really quality win. We put them up there with Preston and the likes of Camelin. I think we do. Unfortunately, they're a fife team that I probably know less about compared to the others. I don't know if it's just because it's St Andrews, and honestly, it's the only place in Fife that I feel like a stranger when I go there. So,
I love St Andrews, man. I must admit, if I'm looking at the draw, obviously, Colin and winning 4 now against Glasgow, and we're in the hat for the next round. We won't really cover the Colin and Rangers game because it was a very pedestrian match, professional performance, job done as far as we're concerned. But I think talking about St Andrews, that's one of the games that I'm looking at and going, well, I wouldn't mind that wee trip. I'm at the point now, my wife is, 6 weeks to go before she gives birth to her.
Yep.
And I'm kind of looking at games. I don't really want to go travelling too far, but St Andrews would be nice to get a wee overnight over. And certainly, it'd be a nice draw to get. It would be St Andrews. I love it up there, and some good restaurants and nice places to go. So, yeah, I'd be looking at that one as a potentially nice wee draw. I'm not saying that we're going to win that game, but I think it would be nice to get out there. And
probably... By the way, lovely place. Nothing against it. Just, I don't know. It's just not Fife for me. I don't know what it is.
Not Fife. There's a joke. There's a title of
it's not a podcast.
Right there. It's just not Fife, innit? As an ice hockey fan, I absolutely hate Fife. So, been a Glasgow Clan fan. So, but yeah, love going to St Andrews. Must admit, all for that. Around the grounds, Clydebank 10, Fort William 1. Kicked off at 7:30 on Saturday night up in Fort William because of some Ben Nevis running race or something like that. Clydebank going up there, done a professional performance and only managed to score 10.
Was that not meant to be somewhere else, I believe?
It was meant to be Goldsby. So there was was talk of being moved to Goldsby, which was another 90-odd miles from Fort William, and it was going to add so many hours on the journey, but they came to this some sort of agreement to play at 7:30, which I think was a bit strange. Apparently, weren't allowed to switch the tie to a home fixture for Clydebank or something. If I was Fort William, I'd have probably wanted that to happen because you were going to get pumped anyway, and Clydebank would have packed home park out with fans at £8 a ticket. I think the capacity is about 1,000. Fort William would have got a nice wee lift off that gate, but I don't know whether the reason is the rules are.
We've talked about this previously, Ben, about Fort William. If their ground's not up to scratch, how the hell have they still got an SFA licence? I mean, it's a mystery, isn't it?
Spoke to a few people at Clydebank this morning and kind of last night. Said it was pretty poor. I think Moff even mentioned the pitch in his interview, post-match interview. And it's one of those ones that, I find it baffling. You go to some grounds across the board, you look at Beath, for example, a team that can't get a licence because they can't get the floodlights in or whatever, but then you can see Fort William are managing because they have floodlights, they're a licensed club, and the pitch is poor. The facilities, by all accounts, are pretty poor as well.
We have spoken about the inconsistencies with a licence.
Yeah, that seems unfair. And, I think, obviously, coming back to the point about B, the third place are obviously an important part of it, and I think that's a struggle. But even like, if what's the big deal if you're not going to allow teams like Fort William to continue to have a license? That part doesn't look conducive to any sort of football. It looks probably on verging on dangerous, probably in the pitch. I think I've seen some of some pictures of the park, and some of the stuff on it just looked a joke. I think there was just say there was some sort of kind of run thing on yesterday, and a lot of people were gathering kind of round about the ground as well. And yeah, I just find it very, very odd that's how it happened. But yeah, we're not in control, unfortunately. I don't know how the licensing audits work up north, but so I guess there's different people going through different audits and they'll have a different view maybe on some of our teams, but certainly.
Not picking on Fort William, by the way. We have stuck up for them for the past, but it's just, I don't understand. If it's not good enough, I think there was when they were in the Highland League, you know, they couldn't play home games because of the pitch, but surely if the SFA have passed the ground for the licence, the ground should be okay. So I don't understand why it's different. Yeah, we've covered it in the past and it keeps coming up and it's continually, you know, it continues to be an issue. So I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand the logic, really.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think there was much to surprise you in the result as well. I think Clay Bank went up there, did the job. It's a difficult situation to travel up for a half seven kickoff, and you're probably not leaving Fort William until probably what, the back of 10 last night to get back down the road to Clydebank. I don't know if they stayed or what, but certainly wouldn't be ideal. That rounds up the Scottish Cup then. I guess quickly jumping into the Junior Cup, there's not loads to talk about, I think, in the Junior Cup, no.
There isn't a women's Junior Cup, is there? Because then we would have to, do we still have to say men Junior Cup? Or
there's just a not. Point? We can confirm there's not a women's Junior Cup. It's purely the men's. It's the Scottish Gas Men's Scottish Cup, I think, is the branding title nowadays for the Scottish Cup. But I've had a bit of a stick for calling the men's Scottish Cup from a number of Buffs fans over the past few weeks, certainly.
It's not something I've been involved in women's football and whatnot. I know you do have to kind of be careful what you said. I remember one time in a Spartan stream, I said something along the lines of like, oh, it's a man's game. And then I had to like correct myself and be like, well, actually, no, we do have a women's team as well. So I guess it's the way of the world. But yeah, and fair play.
At
the end of the day, we're not talking about women's football, really, though. We rarely touch on it. So I don't know how I feel about that.
The reason for me doing it was because there is a co-winning team that play in the women's.
Oh, right, okay.
But, you know, they're not a co-winning Rangers team, they're a co-winning ladies team, as it would be. And when the draw was taking place back in, I think a couple of weeks back, the draws were being made at the same time. So someone turns up, starts watching the draw and sees co-winning versus Hibs. You know, it would be a bit of a surprise to see that draw
in the
pre-arm round of the Scottish Cup. So let's make sure we're clear. There's no great malice. Some people get their knickers in a twist about it sometimes, and I don't really know why. But as you say, it's the way of the world these days. We've moved on. I feel like we're a progressive country, or should be a progressive country, and we can say that without any sort of wee snidey comments. For those that, if you do listen and also are on Buff's Twitter or Facebook, I am watching you. I've seen your comments, and they do get deleted. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on to the Scottish Junior Cup. I feel you've got to distinguish the junior part, though, because you have the Scottish Cup and you have the Junior Cup, because some people still refer to it as the Scottish Cup, but it's the Junior Cup, which is, for me, just wrong. But anyway, that's because I'm not really into the juniors too much. But we got a bit of stick last year for not covering the Junior Cup, apparently. We didn't really gloss over. We glossed over the Junior Cup last year, but we'll have a quick look through the results. I'm not going to read out the entire first round results of the Junior Cup. I'll be here till probably tomorrow, and I've got a spa appointment to go to very, very soon, so I am not going to do that. But I guess some results that stand out, Chris, we'll look at starting off with that win for Irvine Victoria, 7-0 against Forfar at West End, another one of those kind of West versus, I guess, North teams in this case.
Yeah.
A very convincing result for Irvine Vicks.
I think the most I've seen of Irvine Vicks recently is when they play Irvine Meadow in the Stairway, or what's it called?
If you read it, it says Mary Mass, but if you're from here, you call it the Murmus.
The Murmus, okay.
I don't know why you call it that. It doesn't make sense, but that's what everyone, if you're local to kind of North Ayrshire, Cowinning, Three Towns, Irvine, you'd say the Murmus Derby.
The Murmus, okay.
The Murmus Festival.
So it's a bit like that Beef and Beef thing.
See, the thing is, it's probably worse than that. Just bad pronunciation from everyone from this part of the country. Murmus. I don't really know it. If you read it in words, it's spelled Marymass. So it can't be anything else but Mary Mass. But for whatever reason, it's not. But yeah, certainly I see a convincing win for Irvine Vicks.
But yeah, that was the last time I sort of check in with them, because it's like obviously a really big fixture, sort of pre-season with Irvine Vicks. And I'm always wary of, you know, when I mention these things, like obviously for that reason, because it's a bit chukter talk, when you don't know how to pronounce these things. But I knew it was something different. I knew it wasn't what I was going to say. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I needed the local lingo there. It's a bit like Camelin, because apparently I say it wrong. Everyone says Camelin, but if you're from there, it's Camelin or something like that. So it's like, okay. Yeah, it's weird. No one knows who's right in this country in terms
of pronunciations are a funny old thing. Elsewhere in the Scottish Junior Cup, one that stands out, I guess, a bit of a shock, you would say. Larkhall Thistle 3, Thornleywood United 0. First division versus second division there, and the second division side coming out on top.
It's probably similar to, I guess, what the men's Scottish Cup or the men's senior Scottish Cup. Are we doing seniors, juniors now? I don't know. But,
don't do seniors. No, we don't see that. We don't see the seniors. We don't see the big Scottish Cup. See, that part is absolutely honking.
Decent result, as you say, Larkhall. I think the problem with the Cup games is, again, it's like what I mentioned before. If it's a one-off Cup game, it's really hard to tell. I mean, it really is who's up for it on the day and all that sort of thing. And especially, I think, lower down in the West, you do see these... look at St. Roch's last year when they were winning Cup games and that. There's a bit of a feel-good factor. All the boys on the bus singing and having a drink, much to the dismay of Kirk Broadfoot. But, it's... If you're up for the Cup game, it doesn't really matter what league you're in or any of this sort of stuff. Even if you're having a poor result in the league, I noticed, you know, there's a couple of teams that have probably done well in the Cups despite not really performing in the league. So it really is a mystery, especially in the Cup competitions.
One result that stood out for me elsewhere, West versus West, was Petershill 7, Cambus Lang Rangers 0. Petershill getting 7. I think they've been on a bit of a, kind of, bit of a couple of poor results. Darren Miller hat trick.
Did you see what his absolute rocket of a goal? By the
way, haven't watched it yet. Yeah, I've just seen his assistant manager John Walker was raving about it on Twitter last night.
Oh, it was
KL good. Was duds, but certainly haven't watched it. But I will. But yeah, I mean, that's a great result. Cambus Lang and Petershill in the same division. Cambus Lang, a team pretty poor. I'm saying that based on the fact that we've seen them play and we drew with them, which was probably disappointing from a Buffs perspective, but Petershill, we've beat them this year as well. Petershill are a good side, a very, very capable team, and they're not terrible. And did I expect them to put 7 past Cambus Lang? Probably not, but they went and done it. It's a good hat trick from Darren Miller too.
Yeah, been a very capable player of that as well. I know Mick Kennedy likes to still talk him up. I noticed that's one thing I did notice about Mick.
I actually said that last week when I was watching Petershill play against ourselves. Even though we were the winning side, I thought Daz was excellent. I thought he was really good. Gets on the ball, wants to play passes, wants to get stuck in, not terrified to hit a shot like you were saying. And for me, he could still be playing a higher level, without a doubt. He obviously enjoys his football. He's, I think, got a couple of mates that are in it Peter Sells, obviously just at a point now in his career, we just want to enjoy playing football and playing at a decent standard, but he's one of the best players in our division. That's no doubt about it. Elsewhere, across the board, not many other unsurprising results for me. St Roch's getting a result, 3-1 against Bathgate Thistle. Glasgow United beat Vale of Clyde 3-1. What else? Caledonian Locomotives, the Rossvale Choo-choos, as some of us like to call them, beat White Hills 7-2. And Rossvale themselves, the Rossvale, as they were better known as Rossvale Academy, fourth division side, beat Wishaw 2-1. Some interesting results. The other one, I think, that just getting to the bottom of the list there, Broughty Athletic beating Yoker 3-0, and that kind of East versus West, kind of, or Midlands versus West type affair. But yeah, that rounds up the Junior Cup for us, and probably the episode. We're managing to do this in probably under an hour for the first time this year. It's a great surprise to both of us, I think.
First time in maybe 2 years, actually, Ben. I don't know.
We've usually got plenty to say, but certainly our whirlwind tour around the cup competitions and the Lowland League. But remember, if you want to check us out, get us on YouTube. Remember, hit like, subscribe, ring the notification bell, and all that good stuff you can do over there. It means a lot to us. It doesn't cost you a penny to do that. If you've got a YouTube account or a Google account, do that for us. Hit subscribe on all your favourite podcast platforms, whether it's Spotify, it's Apple Podcasts, you name it. If you're there, hit subscribe. Again, doesn't cost you anything, and it means the world to us. Get us on Twitter at the official catch up. We're over there to take all your abuse, as we always do. I'm